Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:11, 24 hours from now, it'll be Election Day. Tomorrow we're going to do an election special where the majority of the program, not all of it, the majority of the program will be the election. And then we're not going to talk about it ever again.
Liar.
But a lot of that tomorrow, maybe a little less of that today, though there is a bunch of news we have to get to. I don't know if you heard, the Cubs won the World Series.
What?
It was a big parade. Apparently, the city is estimating 1 billion people were in downtown Chicago on Friday.
No, it was just 5. Come on.
Such a ridiculous number. We'll get to that as well. But at 6:11, Paul Conrad is standing by. And play his music, please.
La, la, la.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. This is your music.
That's it. Sorry.
Can't really start the segment without it. You wrote the lyrics, didn't you?
I did for the first, like, 6 measures. This is where I left it.
Yeah. And then he said, somebody come in.
Turned it over to Barry Manilow at this point.
Barry Manilow?
Yeah. He then wrote the next, like, 12 measures.
I had no idea he was involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
I believe this is him singing.
All right, at 6:12, have you voted yet?
No.
Yeah, you're going to vote?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand the fascination with early voting outside of convenience, but early voting polling places were backed out the door.
Really?
Yeah, all over the place.
What's the point?
Yeah, because you can do it on Tuesday, and it's more fun to do it on election day.
You can stand in line just as well then as you can any other time.
How long did you wait?
I went yesterday, Paul, right by the TV station off of Edison in California.
Yeah.
There was probably 100 people in line. I thought, I'm going to go somewhere else. I went to Belmont and Broadway
there
by the
go.
Church there.
Yep.
There was about 200 people in line
Lord
there.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
The line was wrapped at the door, so I went by 36th and State, and there was maybe 15 people.
Yeah, well, check. By the way, what does that mean in regards to tomorrow? Less lines. No, what does that mean in regards to tomorrow? We'll get to that with turnout, too. But Paul found it very interesting. Look, after tomorrow, because of how ugly this has been, there's going to be a lot of cursing.
Yeah.
There's going to be cursing on the side of Hillary. There's going to be cursing on the side of Trump. But Paul, over the weekend, because all Paul does is prep for this segment.
Ooh, boy, yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. So what did you find?
Well, I found this study that shows that women are more likely to swear now than men.
Now, they curse more often, or they're more likely to?
They swear more often than men.
Wow. I believe that.
You do?
Yeah, I've started swearing more.
They're
but it's
10 times more likely to say the S-H.
The S-H word.
Blank, shoot? Blank word.
Yeah. Yeah, the S-H word?
Yeah. I don't want to say it because I'm a gentleman, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 10 times more likely.
10 times more likely.
What about the F-bombs?
It says that the they're up 500%, ladies are, from the 1990s of using the F-bomb.
I believe that.
Well, can I ask you and Mary and Sandberg, what are you three so angry about?
Life. Really, ladies? What's going on?
Life? Yeah. Well, we spend 4 hours a day
lighten
with you
up.
Guys. But that's joy. That's pure
lighten
joy.
Up, Francis.
With all you guys.
I don't know.
I do swear.
I just swear in the car. That's about it.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it's since I started working on the Steve Cochran show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't swear in here. Steve, you and I don't.
Not at all. It's like a church
ever.
In here.
Yeah.
No, you
okay.
cause me to swear,
right.
though, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
it's a problem.
Do you see it at home with your mail order bride? And if so, do you understand what she's saying?
I don't understand what she's saying, but I am pretty sure that
it's not good.
It's some cussing, because when she's throwing stuff, she's yelling so loud and throwing so much, and the language gets all mixed in there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's some cuss words in there.
Probably is, yeah. Like an F-ski and an S-ski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a coffee mug got thrown also.
Oh, boy, duck. That's Paul's policy. As soon as he comes in, duck. All right, well, this is important. Here's what we're going to do. You've created the text question of the day because we don't want it to be about politics.
No, we're tired.
We want it to be about cursing.
Yeah.
So this is the text question of the day that I won't be able to read any of the text. But
who cusses more, mom or dad?
No, your favorite curse word.
Ooh,
just like that Inside the Actor Studio question thing that he does at the end. What is your favorite curse word?
That is a great
favorite curse word.
Great one.
So I'll be able to go, 630 texter says, well, right. I'll put that one this going.
All right. Well, I'm glad I was able to contribute there.
Very nicely done.
All right. I got to get back. I got to mow the lawn today also. I'll get to that, Steve.
I was hoping you'd get to that. I don't know how many times I have to bring it up.
All right.
All right.
So, I got to go. I love you. Be careful.
Don't forget to vote.
I love when he hangs up on the show.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to go.
I love you.
I got to go.
Love you. Bye.
Now, starting on the Monday after Thanksgiving, when the 9 o'clock hour is on CLTV, we hope that Paul will occasionally just wander off the Channel 9 set next door into a camera situation and be on with us.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We'd love that.
We're going to set up a camera situation.
We should set a camera for every member of his family, too.
Any idea why on the monitors here today, Mary appears to be completely green?
She's green.
I have a situation.
Oh, you have a situation.
Yes, my camera is kaput.
How do we know you're even up there?
I'm here, and it
could be at your house for all we know.
I guess on Saturday something happened with the traffic camera, and it's down.
Someone
it's
got mad.
Working. Yeah.
Will your information be accurate, even though we can't see you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. All right. Just making sure.
Always is.
All right. Fine.
But I'll always be here for you, Steve.
Thanks. I can't see you.
Even though you can't see me.
Can't see you.
Swearing all the way.
Yes.
Can't see you. Jeff Santo later. We talked to Ron Jr. on Friday. Wanted Jeff to come on today, and he's nice enough to do that. Later on in the show, we have someone on who is very upset with me about the charity story we did on Trump last week. He's going to come on and tell me why Trump is very charitable and why I'm a jerk.
Okay.
Bob Dold wants to be in Congress and stay there. He'll be on after 7 o'clock. And Dr. Kevin Most on stress management in a time of voting. (laughs) 6:21, just under 2 years of age. My granddaughter repeats everything. This is a 708 texter. My wife and daughter are saying they have to watch their mouths. However, they don't need to worry about Grandpa. He doesn't swear. There you go. Backing up Paul's story. 312. It's 5:00 o'clock in the morning. Shut off that alarm.
So his answer would be F then?
Yeah, 630. Well, that's the first one I can't say. 847. I don't know. Is this a Russian name, Bichov? It's one word.
Adjective?
I'm sure
or
how
is
you'd
it?
Use it in a sentence. 269. I don't even know where 269 is. I prefer gosh darn it. All right, listen. I'm taking your favorite curse words. There's a new survey out that says women swear more than men. You know what you can do? You and Mary Vandeveld text your favorite curse words to Sandberg.
Okay.
And then Sandberg will reveal those coming up.
Okay.
I don't really swear that much.
You really don't, Mary.
You don't have a favorite one?
I swear a ton.
No, I don't.
We just
I
said
have
you curse in the car. By the way, I didn't follow up on that. What do you mean you curse in the car?
Just, you know, when people cut you off or whatever, then you just swear. Usually when I'm by myself.
Okay, we'll pick one of those.
I don't know what I say. It just comes up.
Or when she gets woken up.
Oh, yeah, in the driveway.
In the car. You know what we could do is check with her subconscious and see what her subconscious's favorite swear word is. But
oh,
of course,
no, I'm not checking with him.
Don't say.
And we know Andrea's.
What? Because I say it all the time?
Yeah, because we hear it all the time.
You know, can I just preface this by saying my father, in his 70 years, I had never heard him ever swear, honestly. So I don't know. It must have been picked up somewhere else.
You know, the first time I said the F word? Well, you don't know because you weren't there.
No. How old were you?
I was probably 8. I didn't know what it meant.
Oh.
But my brother, we had snowmobiles, and my brother was taking too many turns on the snowmobile, and I wanted it to be my turn. And he drove by and laughed like one too many times, and I yelled out, "You effer."
Oh.
And perfect timing, peripherally, 100 yards away, I see my father outside smoking one of his Pall Malls, and he's standing there as the light from the porch shone upon his head. And he looked at me. He heard me yell. He just shook his head and he walked away.
Oh, see, that's the worst.
Oh, that
brutal. Look.
The disappointment.
Brutal. Yes. Just brutal.
I find what, you know, I don't, but you don't, we don't obviously ever slip and swear on the air. I mean, we're conscious enough not to do that.
I did it accidentally.
Did you?
Yeah, my second job. I should have been fired. I wasn't fired then. One of the times I should have been.
Were you describing someone who
I was having
there?
A conversation with somebody about a punk record. This is in 1981 or two, I guess. A punk record that had the F word in the title. And we thought it was hysterical until I realized the microphone was on.
Oops.
I worked with a guy who could swear a blue streak while and he had control of his own microphone. and somehow, just at the key moment, he turned the mic on and he never swore.
Who was
it? It was a guy at a different station.
At BBM?
Yeah.
Was it Lou?
Yeah.
Was it Felicia?
No, it's no one is there now.
Is it Felicia?
No.
Josh?
No, it's no one.
Dan Rohn?
No.
Your favorite curse words, make them up.
Do you find, okay.
Make them up if you don't have one, I should say.
There's not that many.
Either. I have to say, you guys, you two, Dave and Steve, you do not, I don't hear you swear a ton.
Oh, I curse a lot. Well, I need to stop. I've been better in a last
Dave
year,
especially does
bad.
Not, but I don't hear you swear a lot. I definitely think I swear more than you two, but do you guys find yourself when you do swearing about stupid things like, you know, turn on the blank TV or, you know, the blank bus. I'm trying to clean it up.
I don't know that I think
stupidly.
About the usage. Like, I'd have to analyze it. I don't know that I've ever thought about it.
Like, you should swear smartly.
When people use it just as an adjective, just to use it as an adjective, but no. Drives me crazy.
Well, it's a very powerful word.
Yeah. And
the big
it,
one
it,
I'm
most of the
about.
Time they use it, it doesn't even have a place where they use it. It's like, why would you even say that if you don't have to?
It can also be very funny if used by the appropriate people. Oh, perfect example, Richard Pryor, greatest stand-up comedian of all time. But you either liked him or you really didn't like him at all. But Richard Pryor made it sound like, you know, it was just part of the vocabulary. It just fit in every sentence, just slid right in. But anyway, this is about women. This is about women. Yeah. Women cursing more than men.
I would agree with that.
All right.
I would.
All right, at 6:26, we'll go through the list of textures. I can't say most of them. By the way, one of the words that keeps coming up is the dreaded C word.
Oh, that's the worst
that
word
That is
ever.
The worst.
I think
that's
it is the
terrible.
Most, it's the most harsh word in the English language.
Yes.
Yeah, that shouldn't even be said.
Really bad.
But it's over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Are you sure that they're, oh, well.
I don't hear it all that much. I mean, I don't know.
I hear it more now than I ever did.
Well, let me ask you a question. You don't curse and your friends don't curse. Are the other nuns all in the car with you?
No, a lot of my friends, some of them do curse. Yeah. But I don't know.
I never really swore till college.
I had an agent once who cursed more than any man I've ever known. And that's how I found out I had a double standard. It was off-putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if she still curses like that, but at the time she scared me.
Sandberg and I apparently have the same favorite swear word.
Oh, yeah. Go big or go home. And I also like to say it in front of the kids because it scares them, kind of.
What?
Like, I say it and then I don't say, oh, I'm so sorry for saying the F word.
All right, so that's it. The DCFS people are on the way to your house right now. You know, enough of this nonsense with you.
Wow.
Can I see this? Or
of course.
How do I do this? Well, I don't
here,
know
let me give you the password.
Yeah,
here.
Super secret password. At 6:27, a couple of things from the weekend of lesser note, but good times. The Cubs were all over Saturday Night Live. One very creepy sketch.
Yeah.
But the bizarre didn't want to stop and think about it because it made no sense. But the Bill Murray Barbershop Quartet.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
It was.
You know, it reminded me of, remember when like Ed Sullivan would have like the, whoever had played against the New York Giants that day
in the studio
audience.
That's a great point.
It was sort of like a gratuitous appearance just to acknowledge that these guys won the World Series last week.
No, it's a great point. It's a very good point. By the way, kids, Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan.
Okay.
Ed Sullivan was a newspaper man in New York in the 40s.
Right.
And became one of the TV's first talk show hosts.
All right.
Who hosted a talk show until he died.
What was I thinking?
Not really a talk show, more of a variety show that, was it Saturday night or Sunday night?
Sunday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Sunday night. Big night for TV. Sunday night.
Against Bonanza, wasn't it?
I think it was, I don't know. That was bath night for me. Once a week I had to take one.
Is that the night you went
Mom,
to
Mom, I don't want to take a bath.
I'm sorry.
It's Sunday. Night? Take a bath. You'll smell funky by Wednesday.
I had just gotten out of college.
The outpost and traded, you know, for Sunday Funday.
It's 6:28. Here is a little bit of Bill Murray and who else was there? David Ross.
Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony
Dexter
Rizzo.
Fowler.
Dexter Fowler, yeah.
The Barbershop Quartet version of your favorite song.
Baseball season's underway.
Well, you better get ready. It's a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They got the power, they got the speed. To be the best in the National League.
6:29. Big story coming up. 7:20. WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Morse right now.
6:43, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Dr. Kevin Morse joins us now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. I hope you had a good weekend.
I did. How couldn't you with the weather the way it was?
It's pretty great.
Phenomenal.
Pretty, pretty great.
Yeah.
Don't hang up. I've got a personal question about a rash I need to ask you about. No, no, I have a question I need to ask you off the air when we're done. But yeah. At 6:43... We got a survey this morning from Paul Conrad, the director of surveys on the show, that said women swear more than men. Do you see that at work?
Now, fortunately, I see very rare swearing
at work.
That's
because you're a boss. They're not going to swear in front of you.
No. No. I haven't seen that survey, and that's not the workplace that I'm in, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Us either.
No. Here, listen, we're in show business. Right. We're carnival people.
Yeah.
Cursing that goes on left and right. We'll get to.
We have played golf with Darlis, and
all right. Now I don't swear in front of you guys when I golf, do I?
Yeah, absolutely. You do.
Mary, I didn't swear, did I? When
you both
we played?
Do. Yeah, you both.
I don't remember you swearing.
Thank you. Mary.
Did you want the results of Mary and Andrea's swear words?
What do you mean your swear words?
Mary Vandeveld, you had them. Text.
Oh, I have Andrea's, and the text that amused me, Kev, was the favorite swear words of the three women that are most often on the show. And it was the F word, but it was F word, pause, definitely.
Yeah,
and Vandeveld?
Vandeveld, I think it's funny.
Now, be careful here.
I know. Okay. She emailed me her answer, so it's a formal email.
Was I supposed to say it over the...
You were going
to
text it, but it's the one that's S...
S-H?
Yeah.
That's
but I still don't say it very much.
I'm about to say it.
See, I'm not a fan of that word because of the other connotation.
What?
I have no. I have.
Would you rather do the F bomb?
I prioritize my swear words.
So Dr. Most is on the phone at 6:45. Dr. Most has plenty of reason to curse because you know the medical field is very complex, and of course he is part of a team that runs one of the most successful hospitals in the country. Doc, I grew up around a hospital. It was Bob's Health Hut. You know, you don't want to go to a place like that, and you don't want to have a doctor go, "Oh, F bomb." What did I leave inside of this one? That's bad. You don't want that.
That's a good point.
Oh, come on. All right, so all this comes down to stress management. We got the World Series. There's a lot of stress. It goes 7 games. We got the stress leading into tomorrow. So we thought we'd talk stress management today, right?
Yeah, you know, and it was a great idea by you, you know, because really when we look back, I think you and I should apologize to all of Chicago. You know?
Yeah, we should have done it last Monday.
We should have done it a month ago, but because really, when you look at what people went through in the past month and the stress that they had, to kind of tell them a little bit about stress would have been a good idea. So let me just ask you, anybody who's listening, in the last month, did you have any of these symptoms, the stress on your body? Headaches, muscle pain, chest pain, stomach upset, sleeping problems? How about on your mood? Were you anxious at all? Were you restless? Did you feel overwhelmed? And how about your behavior? Did you overeat? Did you use more tobacco? Did you exercise less?
Outside of tobacco, check me off on all of them.
Me too.
Yeah. How about it?
Yeah.
Now, if I would have asked you that 2 months ago, you would have said, no, no, no. But look at what the stress of just even the World Series can put on our bodies. And fortunately, it was a short-lived stress because really we did not do very well in dealing with it.
So there are some basics that you need to do. I suppose it'd start with recognizing that you're in the midst of a little stress attack.
Yep, that's probably the biggest one, you know, is, you know that you're stressed. So if you are stressed, start to use some of the techniques to de-stress. But for this one, really, was there anything we could do? I mean, we can't change the stressor, right? So one of the things we'd say, boy, if doing this causes you stress, then avoid it. I don't think I could have told anybody, hey, you know what? The Cubs game is really stressful. Don't watch game 7.
But it's interesting you say that because I did talk to people who literally had to walk away. Jerry West, the famous basketball coach, was famous when he was a general manager for several teams of not being able to watch the game.
Yeah.
He'd go somewhere else. You know, there's that.
I'm right there with him.
Oh, you can't. I mean,
there are times when I'm watching Kansas basketball, and if they're up by 20 and they're now up by 5, I'll turn it off just because I just walk away.
But isn't that getting away from it, or does that increase your stress because you know what's still going on?
No, I think it does increase your stress because it's racing and you have no clue what's going on, and then you have to rush back to find out. So it totally backfires.
So you think you're doing the right thing, and actually you're not.
Right.
All right, yeah. So if you can't change the stressor, what do you do?
Well, the other thing that's interesting about that, Steve, too, is not only did we not avoid it, we had people that paid thousands of dollars to go to the stress.
You know, I feel pretty good. Let me give you $10,000, and I'm going to feel really bad in an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so then I don't want to jump the punchline here, but before we go to traffic, the good news here is they won. So when they won, is that like letting the air out of a balloon? That was a giant stress relief because you can yell and scream and holler and dance and do all those things?
Absolutely. That's probably one of the best things. You know, is when the stress is gone, two things happen. One, you can either be very happy about it or you can be very sad about it. But two, it kind of resets your clock and resets your body. Unfortunately for us, we still have tomorrow to worry about. So it's not like we got rid of all our stress. We just kind of got rid of the major stress, and now we just have the election to worry about.
Can't stress be a positive, though, because it forces action?
A stress can be somewhat of a positive. Some people interact much better under stress than they do when they're not stressed. But that's a rarity, and it's not a lot of people.
Because most times stress will shut you down, right? It'll cause you to not be at your best.
Well, just think all the things I just told you. Boy, if it raises your heart rate and it raises your blood pressure, is that a good situation to be in when you're stressed? But one thing I will say is, you know, that stress is the old, you know, fight or flight. You know, okay, what's the body going to do? It's going to increase your respiratory rate. It's going to increase your heart rate to make sure you're getting more blood to your brain. It increases glucose so that your muscles are stronger and that you can fight. You know, you've heard the story of the person who was pinned under a car and someone was able to lift a Volkswagen. That's what happens when our body is stressed. And that's okay when it's in a short period of time. But we can't do that for a long period of time or you start to have very bad things happen to your health.
Dave Bennett just walked out of the room.
I saw that. I know.
You think he's stressed?
He's stressed. I think he's taking...
stressed talking about stress?
Dr. Mo said, get up and move around. I think that was one of the other notes on here. Don't just sit sedentary.
We caused him to be stressed. We caused Dave to be stressed and he left.
Yeah. I heard him swearing when he walked out the door.
Oh, maybe he needed to go out in the hallway and curse. Yeah. All right, 6:55, we continue with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Next hour, as promised, I will give you the Madigan list, the list of all of the Illinois state politicians who I believe, through my sources and through the commercials that run nonstop, are tied to Mike Madigan. And then you can act accordingly tomorrow and support them or not. By the way, every name I mention, they're all welcome on this show. If you would like to refute the claim that you're tied to Mike Madigan, who I believe is the biggest chokehold on this state of any state in the country, and he's got to go. Dr. Kevin Most is back, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. All right, Doc, so we're talking about stress.
Yep.
There are some things you can do to limit the way your body reacts to it, and you mentioned a couple of these before as things that were symptoms, but you got to drink less, right?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if we go through the list and just think about last week, all right, we talked about the one, avoid it as much as you possibly can. So if you know what your stress is and you can identify it to avoid it, did we fail there? Obviously, we massively failed there. Like I said, people paying thousands of dollars. Reduce your alcohol intake, reduce your nicotine intake, and reduce your caffeine. Those are all things that are going to put more stress on your body, and if we can reduce those, it's great. Did we do that? Probably not. Probably had more alcohol in the next mornings. Definitely had more caffeine.
Well, here's the rest. What happens, Andre, when you get together with a group to watch a game? You eat.
You eat. And it's usually not healthy.
It's not big bowls of kale, is it, Doc?
No. Although I did have a veggie tray, Doc. Oh.
There's every so often there's a veggie tray, but then we go and dip the vegetables in fat
ranch
dressings. Exactly.
Blue cheese, creamy.
Well, you
got to
kill the taste of the vegetables somehow.
Right.
So. Out of that nasty aftertaste, you know.
We want people to get up and exercise. We want people, you know, when you're under stress, the best thing you do is go out and exercise and get some of those natural endorphins that moving and get your body moving. And sitting for a 2.5-3 hour Cub game, jumping up when they hit a home run is really not what I call exercise.
Darn it. Shoot.
You can burn up to 6 of the 12,000 calories that you've intake on here. I move frequently, as you said, but sleep matters too, right?
Absolutely. Getting a good restful sleep. Sleep is our opportunity for the body to regenerate or to re-energize. It allows us to stress relief just from sleeping is great. And then in the morning, after a good restful sleep, you're ready to tackle the things of the day. The individual who doesn't get that sleep now goes through the entire day fatigued, makes bad choices, makes bad decisions, and it stresses the body even more.
I think collectively, Doc, we all got about 4 hours sleep last week. Can you ever make up for lost sleep? Like if you say, oh, you know what, I'm off on Saturday, I'm just going to sleep the day away. Can you make up for lost sleep?
You don't really make up for the lost sleep from the beginning of the week. A good night's restful sleep will kind of reset your clock, but it's not like you say, oh my gosh, I only slept 8 hours in the past 3 days. I'm going to try to sleep all day tomorrow and now get back to even. So it's not like filling up your tank with gas. It's getting that additional restful sleep, which may reset you for the day, but it's certainly not going to do anything to eliminate the harm that you had earlier in the week.
Now, one thing I take exception to, and this is Doc's advice after the situation, you need to connect with people and you need to let those emotions out if it doesn't go your way. Obviously, it went the way of Chicago, but there were disappointments throughout the playoffs before you got to Game 7. So you're advocating that you and I hold each other as we gently cry?
No, you know, connecting to others is really important. One thing it allows you is, believe me, a lot of our stressors and a lot of our fears make no sense, right? I have a fear of heights. I cringe when I drive over a high bridge. We don't see bridges falling all the time. So someone there to say, hey, relax, this is nothing. Look at all the cars that are going over here. But unfortunately for this situation, what did we do? Who did we hang around with? We hang around with people who had the exact same stress as us. So it just actually backfired, even though we're connecting with others. They're in the same situation we are, and unfortunately, it's like throwing kerosene on a fire in hopes that it goes out. You know, it just actually made it worse at times.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. I feel much more relaxed just talking to you. Now, the rest of the show I can't really do anything about, but at least for now, things are good, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, long-term stress is a problem. It can increase your chance of stroke, heart attack, diabetes, a whole bunch of things. So really, if you can do anything to eliminate the stress or minimize the stress, get up and exercise, don't drink alcohol, get rest. You know, those are the things that we can do to at least help our body deal with the stress that we're going to have.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day, the Cubs win, and this year's eventual Hawks 4th Stanley Cup is the only hope we have to live. That's all we're saying. May kill us in the process, but the good news afterwards will keep us alive.
Right.
So connect with others. So it's great stuff. And we print the prep. Doc does better prep than anybody ever. And we will post that later today. You'll be able to read through his notes on this segment. Little backstage stuff. Doc, great work. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
713, coming up, the Madigan list. A list of 8 politicians who, in my opinion, are tied directly to Mike Madigan. Their futures are tied to Mike Madigan. By the way, the commercials for the majority of these are running nonstop. But this is a list that I've had verified by good sources. Everyone on this list is welcome on this show. We will find a way to work you in if you are willing to stand up and say you do not agree with Mike Madigan and you do agree that he's a problem, and then elucidate your opinions on this. Or illustrate, I should say. If you want to elucidate, you can as well. 713. Bob Dold standing by. It is doldforcongress.com. And good morning, Mr. Dold. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Nice to talk to you again. You're firing up the bus this week?
The bus has been fired up. We're on the 5th day of the bus tour, literally crisscrossing the district, and we'll have done over 50 events over the course of this last several days.
you have an opportunity to get a bit of a foundational support here in a time where, if you believe the polls, Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States. So we, if you believe the polls, personally, I think we're going to be up late, but we'll see. Having said all that, these commercials are running nonstop that say you're a closet Trump supporter and not as independent as you claim to be. What's your take on that?
Well, I think they're desperate at this stage of the game. And frankly, we've been very clear since December of 2015 that where my position is. And again, for me, very much a personal scenario. And when Mr. Trump came out and said John McCain's not a hero because he was shot down, my uncle was the second one shot down in Vietnam. Spent 8 years and a day in a prison in North Vietnam being tortured by the Vietnamese. So I was actually one of the very first out. Now, because they've got nothing to run on, they're trying to murky up the waters. And ultimately, if they want to say that we headlined an event for local Republicans in Lake County, by all means, let them say that. But ultimately, we want to talk about how do we turn Illinois around? What can we do in the 10th Congressional District to make life easier for families here? And that's what we've been focused on.
Well, here's the other thing, and you can agree or disagree with this, but I'll say this publicly about myself. If Donald, everybody that has heard 10 minutes of this show knows how I feel about Donald Trump. I, by the way, am also not a Hillary Clinton supporter and never thought I'd be in a position to advocate for her. And by the way, I've never advocated for her. I've advocated against him because you have to protect this country and protect that house. However, if Trump wins, I will support the presidency. I will call him out where needed, but I will support the presidency of whoever occupies that office because we have to, and I would expect you to do the same.
Steve, there's no question that whomever the people of this country send to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I will work vigorously to make sure that we are representing the people of the 10th District to solve problems, to make sure that it's easier for them to be able to send their kids to college, to make sure it's easier for them to put food on the table, to make sure that there are more good, high-paying careers right back here in the 10th District. So I would concur that no matter who goes, my job is to make sure we're working hand in hand to make sure that we're solving problems for people right back here at home.
Which, of course, draws concern if it goes the other way and Hillary Clinton's in, because too many of the Republican House members are already trying to line up and say we're going to investigate her until the end of time, which sounds like Mitch McConnell's statement that was made about President Obama, even though Obama certainly had flaws. You know, that doesn't do the Republican Party any favors, doesn't do the nation any favors if she wins, if it's just investigation time.
Well, listen, there needs to be, there's oversight issues by all means, but I hope that the very first and foremost goal is to be how do we solve problems? How do we come together and solve problems? We need to fix our tax code. We need to fix the regulatory burdens that are out there that are, you know, burying small businesses from being able to grow and thrive. We need to make sure that we're dealing with, you know, an overall college debt situation. There's so many things that we have to do. And frankly, the only way that we're going to get them done is to work together to actually solve these problems. That's what I'm hearing from people day in and day out. And that's what I'm going to focus on.
You know, there is an unemployment number which continues to float around 5%. And everybody says, well, we're doing great. Well, you're not doing great if you're in the 5%. You're also not doing great if you're a millennial that is still on your mom or dad's couch and you'd like to be able to start your life. And since 2007, basically 10 years of their lives have been stolen away in economic earning potential. So because of that, and because so few issues have been discussed, what can you do with your experience in Congress to help push a jobs initiative?
Well, there's no question. That is the number one issue that we're hearing from people. I talked to a gentleman just yesterday, standing in line, getting ready to go vote. And he was telling me that because of these new insurance costs, that his company's going to have to lay off, and everybody knows it, he's going to have to lay off 10 workers. And so they're just seeing huge rising costs of insurance. There is no question that we have the economic potential here in the Midwest, frankly, in the 10th District, to be leading the entire nation. We need to make sure that we have that business-friendly environment. That means we have to have a tax code that is competitive in the global marketplace. That means that we have to focus on how are we enabling small businesses to have some more certainty. And we have to ease some of the burdens that are being placed upon them. And so, listen, I am for regulation. We need to make sure that our regulation is smart and tailored. But when we have the Federal Registry, which houses all the rules and regulations in our country, grow by 13 feet in a given year, that is a real problem.
And Mr. Dole, you talked about standing in line or talking to somebody in line yesterday. It's been record turnout yesterday. Chicago set the record for highest voter turnout on a Sunday. It's sure to be a historic election. Do you think the high number of early turnout is better for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party?
Well, it really depends on where they're turning out. But I would say, you know, the fact that it was such a gorgeous day yesterday, people said this is a day if I'm going to stand in line, it's not going to be 35 and sleeting. It's actually a beautiful, gorgeous day. So I was just happy to be able to get out and talk to some voters. And my hope is that they understand our record and will, you know, vote accordingly. But I do think that a record turnout is one that people sense that their voice wants to be, they want their voice to be heard. And I think there's a huge level of frustration out there with individuals.
It's DoleForCongress.com. We only have about a minute here. Why you as opposed to your opponent?
Well, I've been ranked one of the most independent, bipartisan, and effective members of the United States Congress. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to the Chicago Tribune, the Daily Herald, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Journal and Topics, the Chicago Jewish Star. Everyone that's actually taken a look at our record has, in essence, noted that I'm the bridge builder, the one that actually works. We'll stand up to our party when we think that the party is wrong. We'll work with the other side when we think that they're right. My opponent has been noted to take a partisan track, and whatever Nancy Pelosi wants him to do is what he will do. That's not what our district wants. And frankly, we can't have the member of Congress representing the 10th district to have the answer be for every problem, more government in your life. That's not what people are looking for. And so as a small business owner, I think that I can obviously provide that leadership, someone that's met a budget and a payroll. These are the things I think that I'm hearing from people that they want us to focus on.
And the thing I think folks really need to remember, too, is how important the congressional election is, because we get so hyper-focused on the presidency. And obviously, the presidency is vitally important. It's the single most powerful job in the world. Having said that, Congress affects your life every day more than the president can. The president has the big decisions. Congress has the decisions that involve everything. So it's vitally important that you go to a site like Ballot Ready, ballotready.org, and just check it off. Just go through those ballot, or your ballot, I should say, and the races in your district. There's endorsements there that we just talked about. There's plenty of ways to check out if Bob Dole is your guy and everybody else, specifically if you're in the 10th or anywhere else. So obviously you got to vote.
No question, Steve. And the other thing is that as we look at Illinois, we need to make sure that Illinois is getting out of the super minority. Mike Madigan is far too powerful, and that's why I think we need to make sure people are going right down the ballot all the way to make sure that their voice is heard district by district all the way around Illinois.
Perfect segue into the Mike Madigan list coming up. Dold for Congress, I appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great one.
Take care. That's Bob Dold.
You can bring your, and this is great, go to ballotready.org. There was a man next to me voting yesterday. He had a little folder, manila folder.
Print your ballot. Clipping.
You can bring all of that with you.
And what Ballot Ready does is it allows you to go through, check it off. And as we said, Grzanich has had the woman that started this thing on a couple of times. You print your ballot out and you walk in with your ballot. You'll vote and feel good about what you're voting for in about 30 seconds.
Right. And just don't take a selfie of yourself, which somebody else at my polling place tried to do.
Some states you can't.
Some states you can. Illinois, you cannot.
You cannot in Illinois. I'm glad you brought that up. At 722, Mary's back, and here is your traffic trouble spots updates, and then the Madigan list.
The Steve Cochran Show.
What we have in Illinois, essentially, is machine politics, and Michael Madigan is the king of that machine.
Do you think those leaders have too much power?
42 years, do you think you have another decade in you? That's just the beginning.
727, I don't want you to think I've forgotten the dumpster fire that is Donald Trump and the pathological lying of Hillary Clinton. We'll tell you what the FBI did again this weekend and what a mess that story is. But before all of the national stuff comes back in and falls out of my mouth, let's talk about Mike Madigan for a second. Regardless how you feel about Governor Rauner, there is one person who has been in charge of this state for the majority of the last 42 years, and it's Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan owns the problems we have. Mike Madigan owns the ridiculousness of the budget crisis that we have and will continue to have. Mike Madigan serves his interests, his people, himself, and spends every day when he gets up in the morning, in my opinion, figuring out how to make sure he stays in power. I am a big fan of Lisa Madigan, his daughter, who I believe has acted independently from him. And I believe probably would have won if she ran for governor. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But she's come on the show many times.
She couldn't run for governor because her father, Mike Madigan, did not leave office. Now, that's a separate issue from this, and this is the election. There have been commercials running nonstop, and I understand that the TV commercials can sometimes turn into a blur. So I asked sources, and good sources of mine, to give me a list of any number of politicians who they believe are in Madigan's pocket and why they're there. Each one of these individuals is welcome to tell me I'm wrong and tell me why I'm wrong. The phone number is 312-981-7200. You can contact us through Twitter, through Facebook, at Cochran Show or Steve Cochran Show. But the following list of people have all voted for Madigan for Speaker. And keep in mind, the Speaker of the House controls the agenda in the House, controls what gets heard, what doesn't get heard, what's voted on, what's not voted on. And obviously controls the redistricting question that came up. Madigan's people and Madigan's attorneys are specifically the ones that successfully fought against the independent maps proposal, which tried to give power back to the people so you wouldn't have uncontested districts or districts controlled specifically by Mike Madigan. So each of these names, they all oppose term limits. They all oppose redistricting reform. They all voted for unbalanced budget from the Democrats to try to put the political onus on Governor Rauner. And they all represent more of the same. Now, 42 years is not enough for you, then I encourage you to support Mike Madigan and support those who support him. But if you have a problem with Mike Madigan and you share my belief that he has got to go, the only way to do it is to stop sending people to Springfield who support him. So here's the list. For Comptroller, Susana Mendoza. For State Rep, Mary Marwig. By the way, to be fair, Mary Marwig won't say whether or not she'll vote for him for Speaker if she wins. But not saying is not saying no. Michelle Mussman for State Rep. Mike Smitty for State Rep. Sam Yingling for State Rep. Kate Clunan and John Bradley, both for State Rep. And Carol Senti for State Rep. All of those people, and I'll give you the list again, all of those people have been continually supporting Mike Madigan. And until you tell me you're not, you're in his pocket. 312-981-7200 is the number. Here's the list again. Susana Mendoza for Comptroller. The rest are State Rep's offices. Mary Marwig, Michelle Mussman, Mike Smitty, Sam Yingling, Kate Clunan, John Bradley, and Carol Senti. Mike Madigan is not the solution. Mike Madigan is the problem. He's got to go. He's not going to go tomorrow. He may not go in the next couple of years. And he may actually get to say when he goes. But you have to stop sending people to Springfield who will do nothing but support him and will get elected because they support him. We need people with a backbone who will stand up to him for the good of the people of Illinois. Haven't you had enough? 731, back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I've been saying it for a long time. You can't review 650,000 new emails in 8 days. You can't do it, folks.
This election is a moment of reckoning. It is a choice between division or unity, between strong, steady leadership or a loose cannon who could put everything at risk.
743, texters continue to ask for the Madigan list. Again, you don't have to worry about writing it down now. I'll give it to you one more time here, but you can go to WGNradio.com and you can get it as a blog there, as a podcast as well, wherever you pick up podcasts from the show, and we hope you do. And we thank you for that. Following list again, state reps and one running for comptroller who opposed term limits have voted for Madigan for Speaker in the past. They voted for unbalanced budgets from the Democrats and all represent more of the same. I'm only giving you this as my opinion, even though I spent a lot of time with this. And you know me, I think I'm right. But after 42 years, I think we've had just about enough of Mike Madigan politics. So, again, the list is this. Susan Mendoza for comptroller. Susanna Mendoza.
Yep, yep.
I can't read my own writing. Okay. Susanna Mendoza for comptroller. Susanna Mendoza for comptroller. Mary Marwick for state rep, though she won't say if she'll vote for Madigan for speaker. Michelle Mussman for state rep. These are all state rep races. Mike Smitty, Sam Yingling, Kate Cloonan, John Bradley, Carol Senti. All of those folks, again, are Madigan people. And I fully support and endorse you and urge you to go check out and see if I'm right. But all of those folks are invited on to tell me I'm wrong, that they're not Madigan supporters. This is how you stop Madigan. You got to get rid of the people that support Madigan. This is how you have contested races around Illinois. And you got to hold the Republicans to the same standard. You have to, on every level, from here to the White House and back. Which leads me to the sound from the week. Can we get the John Oliver clip? Tell me when that's ready. We'll play some other sound as the show progresses. But again, if you have HBO or you don't, John Oliver has done really an amazing job throughout this campaign. He's taken the blame, by the way, for Trump. We'll get to that later. But John Oliver has done a masterful job. Cut 12. John Oliver has done a masterful job here, in my opinion.
Well, he has. He's very funny. He's great.
I don't know that I need to say in my opinion, since it's called the Steve Cochran Show. Right. But John Oliver discusses voting for Trump here, and notice who he ties the whole dang thing to. Listen.
I want to believe that America will reject Donald Trump, that our innate sense of decency will kick in like some sort of moral autopilot. But I have been spectacularly wrong before. Because, as you might remember, 8 years ago, I was working as a correspondent for The Daily Show. And, well, there's something you should see.
Cubs fans are considered a subset of the stupid.
Oh, absolutely, John. I mean, they've had 100 years to figure out that what they want will never happen, yet they still yearn for it.
And that is stupid.
Yes, it's very
stupid.
Because
the Cubs will never win.
No, that's right, John. The Chicago Cubs will never, ever win the World Series. No. I'm an idiot. Clearly shows no outcome is certain. So if you are thinking you don't have to show up to vote on Tuesday because there is no way the impossible could happen, take it from somebody who has learned from painful experience. You are wrong about that.
And the difference between Donald Trump and John Oliver is Donald Trump just apologized and admitted, or I should say John Oliver just apologized and admitted he was wrong. Yeah.
Wait, what? What's that like?
I am an idiot. At 7:47, still to come on the program, we'll give you some other sound from the weekend and even some more John Oliver. It was great. We'll give you a little bit of Saturday Night Live as time allows. I thought they missed it a little, but the opening was still really strong. Saturday Night Live, I think it's tonight they're going to do their election special with all the highlights from Alec Baldwin and Kate McKinnon.
Oh, my gosh. If anything, if you haven't seen their sketches,
oh, yeah.
Is that right? Is that skits?
Sketches. Very sketches. Good. Sketches!
Of the debates, one, yeah. Two, and three. Hilarious.
Really well done. We get traffic here. People also asking for the website on who they're going to vote for and get a look at their own ballot. Ballotready.org. Ballotready.org. So easy, so simple, so well done. And you can print the ballot once you've gone through and made your selections and take it right in the booth with you. At 7:48, let's get to your traffic. Mary's back on camera so I can now see her. See, Mary's on the 7th floor. But it threw me that you were a green blob for the entire morning. I like looking at you.
Oh, thanks.
Like your stalker. I can see you now.
Yeah, Ben fixed it. So mounted a camera on top of the camera.
We'll get some of your texts on the Madigan list. Some of the general questions that are coming in going, oh, so you're a Rauner guy. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I don't agree with everything Governor Rauner said, but I certainly agree with the majority of what he has tried to do and what he's trying to do, almost all of which has been blocked by Madigan every possible turn, like term limits. You don't think it's time for term limits in this state? Come on. Somebody goes, but you kiss butt on Durbin whenever he's here. First off, I don't kiss butt.
No.
I can't, you know, with my knees, I couldn't bend over that far. And secondarily, I do like Senator Durbin. And I don't agree with everything he says, but I like the majority of what he has tried to do for the state.
Yeah, you also like Senator Kirk.
And I like Senator Kirk.
Right.
Watch your head explode now as you try to figure me out.
Yeah.
I like Senator Kirk because Senator Kirk has done a lot of good. He has said some unbelievably dumb things in the course of his time, but he has said, or he has done, in my opinion, majority good. And I'm supporting him tomorrow. So again, I support Durbin. I support Kirk. And one of the reasons I support the two of them is because they have found a way to talk to each other. And because everything in Congress is about experience and about longevity and about committee positions and about moving things along, longevity matters. And I believe Kirk is still the guy to do that. And by the way, I'm not knocking Tammy Duckworth. She just hasn't been around long enough.
No matter where you fall on the political aisle, you're right. Kirk and Durbin have set a wonderful precedent for two U.S. senators from different parties working together on so many issues. That's very rare.
Some of these texts are fantastic. The swearing texts are coming in politics versions now. Melcy's swearing at me. But some of you are texting who are just flabbergasted by the Madigan list. I'm just telling you, these are the people that are supporting Madigan. If you want to support them, feel free. That's what your vote is for. Make any choice you want to make. But screaming at me about how biased I am isn't going to change my opinion. Those eight people who have supported Madigan and continue to support Madigan have got to go. All the Madigan supporting people have got to go. So let's see. He can't stand Trump. He likes Durbin. He likes Kirk. He can't stand Madigan. Is he a Democrat? Is he Republican? Forget about the far right and the far left. I've said it a million times. That's the problem. That's not the solution. How about the fact you're an American? How about you start with that? Pick what's best, not who's got a D or an R after their name.
Yeah, vote on the issues, not the party.
I had an argument with a good friend of mine yesterday about it because I'm voting straight Republican. Okay, well, then I told him, I go, well, then you're lazy. Do 10 minutes worth of work and figure out if straight Republican's the right answer for you. And if it is, then great.
I talked to someone over the weekend, an intelligent, educated woman who said, I don't have time to vote. I said, are you kidding me?
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You've got to be kidding me. There are 51 locations in Chicago alone where you can go and vote before tomorrow.
One of the great privileges that you could possibly have and one of the great things you ought to exercise. Curse words coming in left and right. We'll get to more of these a little bit later on. I think I covered most of these texters just anecdotally. 847, if Cochran continues his biased political rants and trying to influence election, I may not listen much longer. Well, listen, I hope you do. But the bias you're hearing is the stuff that's against how you view the world. I just picked a handful of Democrats and a handful of Republicans, and the number one enemy of me at this point, those two, are a Democrat in Springfield and an alleged Republican running for president.
There you go.
So if you think that's biased, okay.
You know what else is not biased? I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't be for independent maps, because it's letting you set your boundaries.
Well, Madigan's not for it because it helps him control
his
power.
That's what I mean.
And it should matter to you. All right, Hawks Express. Let's get some good news in here. The Hawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's the hottest team in sports.
Chicago!
Hamuse for the backhanded flip, sends it to center ice. Janelle Smith's got a breakaway over the Hawk line. Down the slot, Dixon shoots. He scores! His first National Hockey League goal is a shorthander, and the Dallas Stars increase their lead to 2-0. Seabrook flips the puck into the star zone. Taze put it in front of the net. Kane with a backhand. He scores! Well, the Hawks get one right back. Taze dishing off to Kane. 2-1 Dallas. Here's Hossa over the Stars line. Right circle, pulls up, fitted in front. Tayshia, he scores! At 4-4, Hossa sets up the captain, who slaps it in behind Lehtinen, and we're tied at 2. Down the left wing, Tays leaning to the net, put it in front, to score! On the back door was Artem Anisimov! A loose puck rolled through the Stars' crease, and there was Anisimov to slam it home! The Hawks lead for the first time, it's 3-2 Hawks! Then, top of the right circle, back to Klingberg, right point, fed it through in front, they score! It's Jamel Smith standing in between the circles, and with 1:20 left in the third, we're tied at 3. Seabrook holding the puck to Hossa straight away. One-timer. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win in overtime! Marian Hossa with a thunderous shot from the high slot! And the Hawks win a pair from the Stars on the weekend! It's 4-3 Hawks in overtime!
Minute 4-8. Steve, I'm in favor of term limits. But how can you say you're in favor of term limits and say longevity is important? We're two different things here, kids. Two different things. You have to deal with what's in front of you versus what you're trying to achieve. I would like to achieve term limits. Until those are achieved, the longevity that exists is important. It doesn't mean you should stay in Congress for 35 or 40 years.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:13, Dean Richards live from Channel 9. Good morning.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Happy Monday.
And to you, we had a survey that Paul Conrad brought to our attention this morning at the top of the show that women swear more than men.
Hell yeah.
Well, see, that doesn't help. Now that's tilting it against men.
To tilt the odds a little bit.
Yeah. So I have some texters here, Dean. 630, the nastiest cuss word I can come up with is Trump and Clinton.
Ooh. Topical.
Yes.
Get your jokes in while you can.
847. There's a bunch of texts I can't say because I said, tell me your favorite curse word.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of them are just the words.
What would be the favorite one so far?
The F word.
Oh.
This one's good, though, from the 630.
Fiddlesticks?
Lick dang corn swazzling son of a badger. Wasn't that Yosemite Sam? But I love that the texter spelled it out.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yosemite Sam.
815, I divorced my wife because she wouldn't stop swearing at me. Well, it's funny on a lot of levels.
Interesting.
And then 630, my wife and her G-rated swearing. She loves dingbat instead of the S word. She also says, what the French toast and shut the front door.
Potty mouth.
You may as well just say the word.
Right.
Yeah. How are you? Did you have a good show there at Tree Time?
We had a fun time yesterday.
Yeah,
we did.
Did your mom curse up a storm?
She was cursing up a storm after the fact. She managed to, you know, keep it under a lid during the show. Yeah, she was hilarious. She's hilarious. It's a riot. She, of course, was the star of the show. She walks in. It's like... you know,
the Beatles have arrived.
Like Meryl Streep has arrived at the thing. You know, people are so nice and, you know, courteous, and people were getting her food. You know, she's putting it in her purse. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have it. Yeah, I didn't get any food. It's like her purse is filled with lasagna.
It's like steam coming out of the purse.
Right. She's taking it home. And then, you know, because, you know, I'm trying to, I try to keep her on a little more healthy eating path than she does if left on her own.
Right.
So people are bringing her chocolate cake and caramel apples and potato chips. And she's taking inventory when we were leaving. It's not like now 2 hours later we're leaving. Yeah, where are the potato chips that guy brought me? there were two caramel apples. Where are there two caramel apples?
You know, there was a guy that used to work here. When we would do live shows, the host for the live shows, these are regular live shows, would put out snacks, bowls of M&Ms, chips, nuts, you know, sandwiches, things of that nature. This host, who made a lot of money, at the end would make his intern put all of it in plastic bags that he brought so he could take it home.
Wow.
What? That is true.
I can't wait to see you privately so I can find out who this is.
is true. I thought you were going to mention, remember Jimmy Lucas, our engineer for many
years. Oh, but Jimmy would eat all of it.
He would eat the entire
Jimmy
thing.
Jimmy Jam would eat it there.
And probably weighed, what, 90 pounds soaking wet?
He was a human tapeworm. I mean, the guy could eat everything.
We had tons of food out there yesterday because we had we brought on three restaurants from that area near Lake Barrington by Tree Time. For the Food Time segments, and they brought a ton of food. So, you know, people were extremely well-fed at this thing. and people are, but, you know, my mom's trying to pretend like, you know, she never wants me to see when she's cheating and eating, you know, she's like, hide the fork if I look over.
Yeah, don't look.
During the whole thing.
Dean, your mom invited me over for leftovers tonight.
Yeah.
I hope that's okay.
Believe me, there were plenty in the purse. Good luck. You might find her wristwatch in the middle of some of it. But we had a great time there.
Yeah, and they're nice folks at Tree
People
Time.
At Tree Time were so nice. So hospital. They have so many beautiful things for Christmas time. We had a lot of great guests on the show. Really interesting. Tons and tons of listeners, I have to say, showed up for this, and I appreciate it so much. It was very, very nice of
you. You know, they say anybody that lived through the Great Depression, you know, of course they hoard food.
Right.
Because, of course, it's just it's scarring, right?
Never know.
Well, one of my grandmothers... this would be the evil one, who would be 114 this year. She was born in 1902. She's not. She's been gone for a while. But I sort of, you know, gave her a pass on that as I was growing up until I saw her purse. This is such a story. I saw her purse open on a counter at one point, and the family had had chicken. And she had chicken bones that she was going to make soup with. Wrapped in napkins in her purse. Mm.
My mother has done that.
Yeah.
We've gone places and, you know, somebody will have chicken and she'll save the bones. Because I can make soup with that. Why do I throw that? Do you know how much it costs if I buy soup here? You know, she wants to.
That's true. I'll buy you the soup. Stop putting bones in your purse.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I also want to apologize to anybody in Lake Barrington. Good luck finding a Sweet and Low packet anytime this morning.
Or a salt shaker.
Well, for anybody that thinks we're all egomaniacs, Dean invited his mom out knowing full well that nobody would give a crap that he was there.
Right.
That's right.
It's all about your mom.
It's all about my mom. So, all about my mom. And Dave Schwann's 94-year-old dad was also there.
Oh, that's great.
I think he was putting the moves on my mom a little bit. Somebody
I don't
said,
know if moves would be right. Was he hitting on her from his chair? It's all funny when you're 55, you little creep.
I wind up becoming stepbrothers with Schwanny. Not going to be happy.
It's the sequel to the Will Ferrell movie. And it's you and Schwanny. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Dean will come back and we'll talk about the Cubs' influence on pop culture. Dave Chappelle making a TV thing. And terrible Michael Bublé news. You can wish him nothing but the best.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Back to Channel 9. I saw Pat Tomasulo about 9 o'clock last night when we both should have been in our respective homes snoozing.
What were you guys doing out on a Sunday night?
Pat McGann's little boy, Elliot, has been battling cancer. Unfortunately, he's doing great. But Pat and his wife, Sarah, are supporting a charitable cause called Stand Up to Pediatric Cancer. And there was a big fundraiser at Zany's out in Rosemont last night.
Very
and
nice.
Tomasulo was very funny on stage. Of course, none of the material could be aired, but it was very funny on stage. And John DeCoste and I went up, did an auction and a raffle. And it was a full house, raised a bunch of money. So
that's
that was
great.
Nice.
That's great. Pat McGann was at a benefit that I hosted in Northlake for the Alzheimer's Association and was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Any chance that you get to see Pat McGann, super
And he's such a nice guy too.
Nice.
Like, if you go to his house, like, you go, hey, Pat. I'm a fan. He'll let you in. He'll do 20 minutes.
Right
in his living room.
Yep. Make you dinner.
And then Saturday night, I was out in Wheeling for the annual Rebecca's Dream Foundation event. This is my friend Rebecca Cutler, who suffered from bipolar disorder and took her own life at 30 years old.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Rebecca was a friend of the station, a terrific writer, and Fall Down Beautiful and all those things. And Rebecca's family has courageously pressed forward with the foundation to do what she always wanted, which is to stop the stigma of mental health. It's as serious as heart disease and cancer and AIDS and everything else that's out there. And it's not okay that we don't treat it the way we treat other diseases and fund it appropriately as well, because everybody deals with it. And for those of you who have somebody in your life and you mean well, but you tell them to snap out of it. You tell them to walk it off. You tell them they have so much good going on. You ask them why they're sad all the time. People can't help it. Unfortunately, through a combination of medications and talk therapy, you can live a very full life no matter how severe your condition might be. But you got to be willing to get the help. And one of the things that Rebecca's Dream does in the foundation is provide resources for that and allows you to talk to people who are struggling like you are. So very proud of the Cutler
stigma.
Family.
It's the stigma. The people,
and the stigma's
people
gotta
don't
go.
Want to, you know, they're afraid to go ask for help.
Right.
They're
right.
afraid of what it might seem like to others for them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not crazy. The crazy thing is not asking for help. So so we hope you will. And check out RebeccasDream.org.
Yep.
So, all right, back to...
you want to keep on like a little serious note here, because over the weekend, Michael Bublé...
Yeah, this is a terrible story.
The singer, he's got two kids. He's got a 10-month-old and a 3-year-old son named Noah. And the 3-year-old was just diagnosed with cancer. They have not released what kind of cancer that it is. They're keeping rightfully keeping private about this and concentrating on their son's health. But Michael Bublé and his wife both have said they're canceling all of their commitments right now. They're
sure.
stopping everything. They're going to concentrate on getting their son's treatment, which will Michael Bublé is Canadian, and the treatment will be in the U.S. Michael Bublé's sister-in-law, so his wife's sister, was interviewed by a television station over the weekend, and the sister-in-law said that it's not leukemia, that I'm sure in time, she said, I'm sure in time they'll be releasing more details, but it's not, she ruled out leukemia.
Well,
but either way, it's a 3-year-old dealing with cancer, so if you've got, you know, some positive thoughts and prayers you can spare.
And miracles happen. I mean, little Elliot sure. McGann's doing great.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly right.
Dave Chappelle's going to host Saturday Night Live.
First time ever. I didn't realize. I was shocked when I heard the news that he had never hosted SNL, but he has not. He'll be on next Saturday, the post-election episode, A Tribe Called Quest, also making, you know, rare television appearances.
I don't know how Chappelle does the monologue. I mean, Chappelle, here's a guy that keeps up his end of the cursing stats, I know he did a TV show, but the TV show was taped. It's a live monologue.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, the tune-in factor just for that, to see how he's going to get through it. But Dave Chappelle also released a statement about this, saying that he's giving odds that he may not show up at on Saturday Night Live, because he's kind of famous for not showing up
and
for
Lauren
shows.
And Lauren Michaels goes, Dave, you have to come, please.
This is not funny. This is not funny. Because he walked away from his wildly popular Comedy Central show about 10 years ago.
Was offered $50 million to keep doing it.
Yeah, and he walked away, and he's had concerts since then. Has not showed up for them. So it's a rather genius kind of marketing thing. Will he show up? And if he does, how does he get through the monologue without, giving the censor a heart attack?
We played Bill Murray in the Barbershop Quartet a little bit ago on Saturday Night Live, but what did Eddie Redmayne do?
Eddie Redmayne, I was in New York on Saturday and interviewed the cast of the new Harry Potter prequel movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's a reference to a book that Harry Potter read in Sorcerer's Stone. So this new movie is, I'll talk more about it in a couple of weeks when it opens, but Eddie Redmayne is the star of the movie. Every room that I went into to interview any of the stars of the movie, in most cases, British cast, were completely aware of the Chicago Cubs, were totally into the World Series. Even they were all caught up with it. Eddie was with former Boardwalk Empire star Catherine Waterston. They were together, and they had the Cubs spirit.
I'm still just coming to. Like, it messed up my sleep clock so much because I was so amped up that night. That was the most amazing game. So
is it
you
even
had a question.
On your radar at all, Eddie? I find people
do you know about
from
the
other
Cubs?
Countries.
Do you know about
well,
the
I know
Cubs
that it was like
a
huge deal and watched by more people than ever. And I also saw the cast of Hamilton in Chicago doing a curtain call that involved singing
Go Cubs Go.
Go Cubs Go. Yes, they
I mean, that song is pretty hilarious. Because it's not like like a fighting song. Do you know what I mean? Right. It's not like, we're going to kill you, we're going to win. It's like, no. Go, Cubs, go. You can do it.
I never thought of the song that way. But really, it's a charming little song in that sense.
Yeah, it's more of a grab your beer stein and swing it back and forth.
Thank you, Steve Goodman, for that wonderful anthem.
And Dean's got a clip of the Hamilton cast singing too, which you'll see on TV this morning as well. But I'll leave you with this. 219 texter, oh, the memories flooding back. My 52-year-old brain. I lived with an elderly cousin in my early 20s. We would go out to eat once a week. She would not only stick fried chicken from the buffet in her purse, but she'd shove it in mine as well. I stopped carrying my purse or wearing anything with pockets. Tremendous.
Love
it. That's tremendous.
Love it.
And Steve, please tell Dean to tell his mother I make my own yogurt too. Instead of cheesecloth, I use coffee filters to strain it.
Yeah, my mom's done that. Does she use the heating pad, though, to keep it at a regular temperature on the bed with a blanket over it?
Nope. Instead of keeping it warm with a heating pad, I leave it in the oven for 8 hours with the light on but the oven off. The 21st century way. I'm modern. Love you guys, you listeners. Enjoy your day, buddy.
See ya.
And back with a big story next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I missed the opportunity to say happy birthday to our friend Sam Ristich, the veterinarian. Not his birthday, his dad's birthday on Friday, 84 years old. Doesn't look a day over, 55, 56. And a Korean War vet. And a good man. So, happy birthday, Mr. Ristich. And sorry I blew that on Friday, but, you know, I'm friends with your son. What do you expect?
Happy birthday,
I would have been the guy, like, if I knew Sam back in high school, even though he's much older than me, I would have been the guy that Sam's parents wouldn't want to come over to the house.
Happy birthday, though, Mr. Dr. Sam.
Why are you hanging around with that Cochran kid? He's nothing but trouble. All right, so... I'll give you the Madigan list by way of blogs and podcasts. Is it up? It's up now? Yeah. You can go wherever you pick up a podcast or a blog. We always recommend WGNRadio.com or the WGN Radio app. But, you know, the podcasts are available just about everywhere podcasts are available, and we hope you pick it up. But it's a list. It's specifically a list of 8 candidates who are tied directly to Mike Madigan. And in my opinion and my belief, they got to go. They got to go. Because you have to break down Madigan's foundation to get rid of Madigan, who is killing the state. So that is up if you care to take a look at it. And again, all of these folks are the most important linchpins in the Madigan machine, which is why I'm only mentioning the 8, because obviously there's other side to Madigan as well. So again, that's up at WGNRadio.com and other places. But remember last week we had on a writer from the Washington Post who'd done an exhaustive search trying to find any evidence of Donald Trump making charitable contributions. I mean, anything. And in that Washington Post story, there's nothing. There's no evidence. The only time Trump writes a check to a legitimate charity is when he gets caught not supporting a charity he claimed he supported. Is one of the reasons his tax returns have not come out, I'm sure, along with the general idea that he hasn't paid any income tax, all of that. So that's all laid out. It's Washington Post. Not me. It's in the Washington Post. The guy spent months researching it. But I got a guy on the phone representing Trump who's very upset with me, so let me go there now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you, Mr. Cockerell.
And your name is?
My name is Jonathan DeLuder.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last name.
DeLuder.
I got some of your texts, and they bordered on to quite personal. Can we keep this professional?
I think we have to keep it professional. That's the only way that I will do it.
All right. And you have done exhaustive research as well, and you have a list of charities that Trump either has supported, promoted, or actively contributed to.
I didn't even have to do research. This is off the top of my head.
All right,
guy is a god. He's phenomenal.
All right, so here you go. These are Trump-supported charities. What are they?
Well, who hasn't heard of these? Dentine for the Destitute. You've got Indigo Girls for the Indigent. Soft Serve for the Hard Up. We've got an entire...
Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
Soft Serve for the Hard Up. So that's ice cream for the poor?
That's right. They need it, too.
All right, sure.
Okay. Got to have a treat every once in a while.
All right, continue.
We got the pantry for the poultry. We don't actually fill the pantry. We just build pantries.
Okay. All right.
Milky, what do we got? Oh, my God. Right off the top of my head, bagels for beagles. Do you know that we lose about 6 beagles a year who choke on bagels?
I did not know that. So why are you getting bagels for them if they're choking on them?
Well, that's something we have to discuss. You're absolutely right. That has been an issue.
All right. Continue.
You got to spay and neuter the illegals. That's a whole thing. Send your money to spay and neuter the illegals.
All right.
Golf
These are
courses
all...
for the handicapped.
What was the last one? I missed that.
Golf carts for the handicapped.
Golf carts for the handicapped. Okay. All right.
As long as your handicap is over a 7, you should get a golf cart.
I'll be driving around golf carts.
Right. All right.
Save the thighs. Get culottes. Culottes save the thighs.
Yes,
Cocoa
and?
Cocoa for cuckoo pups.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of people think that chocolate hurts dogs, but just a little when they're puppies will help their mental stability.
All right. These are all, I got to be honest with you, I have not heard of one of these charities yet.
How about this one? Slam, bam, thank you, ham. That's pigs that are overcrowded in a pen. We're saving money for them. One fish, two fish, I ate blowfish.
And that's a medical charity to help people that accidentally?
That is a medical charity. You're darn right it is.
All right, I'm starting to get these now.
So what's...
Toddlers with tantrums.
Oh, yeah.
We give the kids what they want. They stop the tantrums.
Okay, all right.
What's Indigo Girls for the Indigent?
Oh, those would be Indigo Girls concert tickets for the poor.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Darn right it is. Mm-hmm. They're selling out at least 50 seats now.
Yeah?
You got Mothers Against Mothers.
What is that?
I don't know. Mothers Against Dr. Joyce Brothers. Also, Mothers Against Sally Struthers. She's right there. Just beat them. Mothers Against Catman Crothers. Why did he leave the inn? He knew the kid could read his mind. He should have stayed there.
I believe.
Mothers Against Udders. You got Mothers Against Udders. These are mothers don't want their kids drinking too much milk.
I understand. You know, I'm going to put you on hold for a second, but you feel free to continue to run through your list. It's very helpful. I do retract everything I said about Donald Trump and his charitable giving because clearly I was wrong.
So just to be clear, the Sally Struthers and the Joyce Brothers, those are two separate charities.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Mothers Against Joyce Brothers is Joyce Brothers is still dead. He's still with us. Mr. Deluded?
Kids Against Church Clothes. You also have Down With Velcro, Save a Button, Adopt a Jet, Tanamine for the Canine. You don't have to yell at the dog. Act it out. They'll get it. Wallets for the Poor. Cell phones for the muscular apathetic. Court for humanity. Hummus for the homo sapiens. Mending fences. We actually go out and we'll mend your fence.
Hummus for the homo sapiens.
I've never heard of half of these.
That's hummus for humans.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's the Trump charity guy. It's time for a break. We'll come back and more to come with the Steve Cochran Show. After 9, Jeff Santo joins us on 720 WGN.
I love those pink signs. Women for Trump. I love the signs behind me. Blacks for Trump. I like those signs.
Oh, sometimes it hurts my head. I made this point last week, but just to repeat, before we get into tomorrow... If you really are in the I hate Hillary camp and I can never vote for her, I just want to tick off a couple of things and try to make one last logical point here. If your point is you can't trust Hillary, there's too much lies and dishonesty. He lied about 9/11. He lied about the Iraq War. He lied about his bankruptcy. He lied about cheating on his wives. And I could actually send you a story which categorically details 500 times in the last 2 weeks he's lied. He lies constantly. So can we agree they're both dishonest? She bends the rules to get her way. He literally has stood up in campaign rally after campaign rally to say he didn't pay taxes because he could bend the rules. He bent the rules to make sure that he made money when the housing market collapsed because he's a businessman and that's what he had to do. He bent the rules with his foundation. He bent the rules constantly. Bill Clinton's a sexual predator. Are you kidding me? Really? You think 12 women made up the same story? How about the other 112 that haven't come forward? The Clintons only care about themselves. Again, the housing collapse, the charity contributions he didn't make, poor treatment of women. Hillary treats women very poorly. This coming from the guy that calls women fat, ugly, and not attractive enough to sexually assault?
And disgusting. Don't forget that.
The Clintons are involved in a criminal enterprise, and that's the only reason they're in office. Trump University, rape charges, illegal financial situations that go on constantly, which brings me to the idea that Hillary Clinton will be caught up in constant investigations. Look, the Clinton Foundation needs to be shut down. There's no question it's funky. It may well be illegal, and that does need to be investigated. But the Republicans can make a choice if Hillary Clinton wins tomorrow, and that's to do their jobs and not tie the country up in presidential investigations because your candidate didn't win. And by the way, investigations, lawsuits, things of that nature, Donald Trump has been sued 2,000 times since the 80s. 2,000 times. The Trump University lawsuits still have to be played out in court. He's got an appearance coming up in those. And the only reason he's not having to appear in the rape of a 13-year-old lawsuit, which he was charged with, is because that woman dropped the suit this weekend, and her attorney said she fears for her life because of the constant threat she's getting. The Clintons got rich breaking the rules. Again, the foundations, the Trump Foundation, he spent the money on himself. And people go, well, not as much as the Clintons spent on themselves. They're both illegal if that happened. Here's what we know. Trump bought a portrait of himself. Trump bought a Tim Tebow autographed helmet. Look, my point is this. They both are terrible candidates. Terrible, terrible candidates. But you know what I do know? I know that Hillary Clinton has 30 years of experience. And you may think that's a negative. You have to have experience to work the channels in Washington. Is it possible that electing her would mean you're electing someone with experience to do the job and someone who will be watched like a hawk, like no president that ever sat in that chair? Isn't that possible? They're terrible choices. They both are. But at some point, you have to protect the country. And you have to protect the country from someone who is not only not ready for the job, doesn't understand the job, but is a danger to America because of his narcissism, his selfishness, and his greed. Just my opinion, kids. 8:58 back after this, and the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. We still got to talk about the fact that the city said 5 million people showed up for the Cubs rally. Really? 5 million?
Give or take.
Come on. Why are you being skeptical, Steve? Yeah. They count. Andrea was in there. She counted them.
I counted everybody. Mm-hmm. I stopped counting it. 3,129,000.
There was a bazillion people there.
Seventh largest gathering of human beings in one space in the history of the world.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it was. Minute before nine, back after this of the news on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to mention four names, four people that are no longer here, but I've been thinking a lot about them of late. First of all, the one and only Harry Carey. And before him, a man that called thousands of Cubs games, Jack Brickhouse. The one and only Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks. And my partner on radio for the Cubs for 15 years, the legendary Ron Santo.
Nice moment from Pat Hughes. Pat and Ron show on WGN is one of the greatest things. And what was the best thing, Dave? When it was a blowout.
Oh, yeah.
And Pat and Ron had to come up with important things like how tall Sylvester Stallone really was.
And it happened once or twice along
just
the way.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Jeff Santos standing by. I was touched by Jeff's words about his dad. And, of course, we had Ron Jr. on Friday. Hi, Jeff. How are you, man?
good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing.
Hi, hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing great. You're one of the first person or one of the first people I thought about when the last out was finally recorded. I can't imagine. I said this to your brother. I can't imagine how emotional that had to be for you guys.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the whole postseason run was, you know, and just our trip to Chicago. You know, we went out there for games 3, 4, and 5, and it runs so deep, you know. You know, Ronnie and myself, we grew up at Wrigley Field. You know, it was our backyard. We go to the games with my dad,
sure,
you know, every summer, and so yeah, it was amazing, and you know, happy as can be, also sad, but very happy, you know.
But I think about the fact that they got down 3-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going into that game 5. And yeah, to watch your dad get excited as they go through game 5 and they win it. And by the way, when they're down 3-1, knowing he is one of the few that would absolutely believe without a shadow of a doubt they were going to come back and get it done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, every year he was that way. You know? This is going to be the year. You know, he was an optimist, no doubt about it. And that's what's special about this team. I mean, Joe Maddon and my dad really would have got along. I mean, you know, both of those guys are all about being, you know, optimistic. And, yeah, he would have had a tough time through every game. I'll tell you that.
Jeff, when you walked out of Wrigley Field after game 5 on Sunday after they won, did you believe that deep down that they were going to come back and win the series?
Personally, I did. Yeah, I even told my family, my sister, my brother, my wife, that we win this game, I think the pressure is going to be off going to Cleveland. I think there was more pressure at Wrigley Field just from the past.
I agree. Everything.
You know, so I felt they get by game 5, I think they're going to be relaxed and going into Cleveland. And once I heard the weather was going to be good, I said, well, they're going to open up, you know, in game 6, and they did. And then game 7, I thought the pressure was on Cleveland, and it was. And then it fell on us once again late in the game. So I heard what my brother told me, his story, that his friends actually abandoned him at their own home.
Exactly. His buddies left the room. He was alone in his buddy's house watching TV.
I couldn't believe it. I told him, come on, you either stay on the ship, you know, or go
so
down.
So funny.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
You know what else we talked about the other day? Andre, say hi to Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. You know what? Remember, I think you were going to say this. We took calls the other day. The first people you thought of after the Cubs clinched, and it was overwhelmingly, it was, of course, you know, Ernie and Harry as well, but overwhelmingly Ron Santo. And people were coming up to me at the rally and saying, because it was such a beautiful day, oh, that's Ronnie. That's Ronnie. That's got to just, you know, make your heart so warm.
It really does, you know. Seeing all the jerseys too when we went back to Chicago, you know, everyone, so many people wearing 10, and you know, going by a statue, you know, because I don't live there. So when I go back, you know, I went back to Wrigley for the first time in 2 years this August. You know, it really is amazing, and I think that has to do with, you know, obviously the kind of player he was. You know, the people who remember the toughness he had, the passion for the game, and then all of a sudden, you know, he has this second life in the broadcast booth, and he's this passionate fan. And so he crossed over in the generations, and it's just great to see. You know, people who didn't even see him play knew him as a broadcaster, but then went back to, you know, understand his career as a player, you know. And he was a captain at the age of 25, you know. And all those guys in 69 played together for so many years, and it just felt so right with this team. You know, there was a lot of love in 69, that we were one big family, and you could just sense that with this team.
Who, you know, the best way to find out who's got your cell phone number is to have something monumental happen in your life. I would imagine you heard from everybody, including people you haven't heard from in a long time.
Yeah, got a lot of texts, you know. Absolutely, but it's great. I tried to answer everyone eventually, you know. Because I was having a move the next day to L.A. from Arizona. So we packed up our lives, and now we're in Burbank, California.
How about that?
Won the World Series. So I don't know how we planned that. I think I planned that in case they lost. Okay, we're going to move now. And we'll erase that from our minds. But so we're out here as World Series champs, and it feels good.
Jeff, I would imagine there are a lot of people probably reached for their copy of This Old Cub this past week, just as a tribute to your dad after the Cubs won.
Yeah, that's something else. And let you know, Dave, we actually re-released it finally on video on demand in August, on August 16th. So it's on Google Play. And
oh, cool. Great.
All the different VOD, Comcast, Xfinity, you know, iTunes. And we never had it on any of those platforms. It was always just you have to buy the DVD. And so we added like an extra 15 minutes to the ending. So you see that, you know, he gets in the hall. So it was great that it kind of got revived in the Cubs, you know, had this, you know, postseason and the World Series victory. It is great because, you know, the more people that could see his story, understand what he went through, and it just makes me happy. And, you know, it's quite a story. It really is. And you were there, you know, both of you. And, Dave, that interview that you and Spike did with him was so powerful, you know, how he handled, you know, his adversity and, you know, all the defeats. My dad took a lot of defeats in his life.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of victories, you know. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people forgot about losing his parents, you know, losing his parents at a young age, just when he was getting started. You know, and by the way, that is Dave's number one film credit on his IMDb page.
it's my only one.
What are you doing in Burbank, Jeff?
Well, I'm in the film business, you know. So I lived here for 14 years before I moved back to Arizona in 2008.
And so it was just time to get back.
Time to get back. Everything's, you know, here now and TV and, you know. So just had to be where they're playing the game, you know. So
well, you know, your dad would like nothing better than if you're able to leverage a Cubs World Series into a couple more deals, because I know how great a director you are, and I'm excited for your future as well.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Really appreciate that, man.
So bless you, man, and to your family. And I'm an emotional wreck just trying to get through, you know, all of this. And I got to tell you, I miss your dad all the time, and I think about being able, I used this analogy the other day, watching my kids watch stuff when they were little was nothing but fun. You know, whether it was Sesame Street on Ice or whatever the case may be, I would have liked nothing better than to just sit in the back of the booth and watch your dad watch those games.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that, Steve. And you know what you guys meant to him. You guys were all so close, everyone he worked with. And thank you all for thinking about him, you know.
Well, thank you, pal, and we'll be in touch, but I just want to make sure to check in with you and get a few words from the great Jeff Santo. And don't forget, go to Video On Demand.
Yeah,
if you never saw this
great
old Cub, any Video On Demand site, or as he said, Google Play or the iTunes Store or any of those.
You know what my favorite thing about Ron Santo is that, and I've told Jeff this before, awesome player, awesome broadcaster, but the fact, and we saw him at all the JDRF walks, he would sit there and sign autographs for every single person. And his handlers would be saying, not Jeff, of course, hey, you got to go. You have to get to the next location. Yeah. No. Everybody took a
Well, and against his doctor's orders.
Yeah.
I mean, after he had his second leg taken, they didn't want him running around. And he was out there as well. You know, after he had his first leg, I go into the booth, and he was very proud of the fact that this prosthetics company had made these amazing advancements, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he wanted to talk about is the fact that he decided to get a little taller. So the legs were actually just a skosh longer. But he had one of the legs, he had a Cubs logo on the side of it. And this is how you know you've maybe made it with Ron Santo. And look, I knew we were friends. But when you walk in and he hands you his leg, walked into the booth, Stevie, take a look at this.
Okay.
Unbelievable. He was just nothing but fun. And you know what we ought to do? And I guess probably we can't because of the rights deal now. But at some point, I hope we can release the Pat and Ron show again, because that CD is a gold mine.
Oh, it is. It is. Nick played a bunch of it the other night after they won.
What, did we fire him? Immediately after?
He was immediately.
Yeah. All right, 9:22. We'll take a break, come back, and discuss whether or not it's possible that 5 million people showed up at the parade and rally.
Of course it's possible. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, still to come. Oh, Bella Gandhi.
Yeah, Bella's coming in. She has some election dating advice for people. This is funny.
And we can move to Canada together with your new love at 9:22, back after this on 720 WGN. Hottest team in hockey, your Chicago Blackhawks won their sixth in a row last night. They got a couple days off now, Dave?
They are off today. They will travel to St. Louis tomorrow and play the Blues on Wednesday.
Right.
They'll come home to play Washington and Montreal, and then the circus trip.
They look so good.
Looking really good. You know, this penalty kill, we anguished about that so much. They had killed off 15 straight opponent's power plays until they gave up a power play goal last night,
yeah,
and then
great.
They killed off three more, including one in overtime.
I feel like I should take credit for it.
I think
their resurgence.
Should. I think you
because,
should.
Because you remember that stern talk I had with Coach Q the other day when I said, hey, Q, welcome to the show?
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew I was upset.
Yeah, I think.
And
you
they
mean,
turned it around.
You mean when he lectured you? Oh, no, that was Coach Fitz. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a different one.
Yeah. Different coach.
Cubs showed up last night and got the rousing response you would expect from the Hawks faithful. So it was nice of the Hawks to have the Cubs in.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs are going to be everywhere this week. Somebody left this in the studio. It's funny. It's a collage of pictures of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant with the caption, find somebody who looks at you the way Anthony Rizzo looks at Chris Bryant. And it's a bunch of loving gazes from Anthony Rizzo to Chris Bryant. Rizzo's like just a big goofball, right? Just yeah. a good time big
well,
goofball.
Well, and look, he's the one who started. I mean, he was showing these Rocky movies, right, before game four, that would have been. And they're playing, he goes up to bat, and they're playing the theme from Rocky.
Da, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you notice later in the series, like in game seven, he's like jabbing, and he gets to first base, and he's like throwing punches. I mean, this became a big thing with them.
They are kids. They played the game like kids, and I think that's one of the reasons they won.
Yeah, I think they have fun.
What was better for any baseball fan, unless you're a Cleveland Indians fan, then Chris Bryant smiling the ball into his glove
mm-hmm.
before it even got there for yeah. the last out.
That was so cool.
Just knowing it was done.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that too many fans that moment were smiling until they realized that Rizzo had the ball in his glove.
Yeah. I just have, we've never had the ability to have that kind of photography, but
yeah.
Chris Bryant smiling, big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
The ball then hops into his yeah. glove and he makes throw to first. He kind of slipped too.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he said he slipped and I go, well, you're still smiling about it.
It's great.
Did you guys think Anthony Rizzo would give that ball to Tom Ricketts?
Yep.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's the reason he grabbed it.
I actually
specifically the reason he grabbed it.
I thought he was going to give it to Billy Williams because Billy Williams was at the rally.
Yeah,
well, that could have gone
and
that
he
way.
Was sitting down at one point because it was overwhelming, you know, and he sat down and he said, I really had to be here. I really had to be here. So I thought Rizzo was going to give him
could've
the ball.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah, could have gone either way.
Of course, that was the Paul Konerko to Jerry Reinsdorf move also.
Yeah.
He gave, at the parade,
right.
he gave Reinsdorf the ball.
And a lot of people, I don't think, ever realized, because the Michael Jordan thing was obviously as big as anything, that Reinsdorf's a baseball fan at heart. He was a baseball yeah. fan, baseball kid. So 2005 meant as much to him or more than all those Bulls championships mm-hmm. did.
Did you guys hear Rizzo say to Ricketts, I need a raise? He whispered that to
you know,
him.
I got to tell you, Rizzo's doing fine.
As he
yeah, he's doing
ball.
Fine. You know, he makes over five figures. Yeah, he's
no.
doing fine. Quite a few figures more than five figures. Question is, how are you going to keep the team together with the exception of a few changes, including letting a pitcher go who had a hot start this year and then kind of went in the tank? They, in all likelihood, are going to be able to. This is not the National Hockey League where you lose a third of the team every time you win a championship.
Yep. No salary cap.
Yeah.
So they'll keep it. I mean, they got a couple guys are going to hit the free agent market, Aroldis Chapman and Dexter Fowler, and they'll have to
pay or let them go.
Yeah, and I don't see Chapman coming back, but you know Fowler, we didn't think he was coming back last time.
You know what? Don't say that too loudly, because Joe Maddon just put Chapman back in.
He did, really.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I went to lunch with him.
With Maddon or Chapman?
I went to lunch with Maddon on Saturday,
uh-huh.
and he changed his order six times, and then we walked out.
Did you?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Steve. Were there 5 million people at lunch with you?
There were.
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. There were not 5 million people at the rally. I don't know why the city felt they had to trump this number up. But 5 million people? There's 3 million people in Chicago. I'm rounding up here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's 10 million people in Chicagoland. Again,
yes.
I'm rounding up. There's about 13 million people in the state. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say 3 million people in the city. Let's say of the 10 million people in the greater Chicagoland area, 500,000 of them came in for the rally.
All right, how many million? How many?
Well, not done.
All right, all right.
Not done.
All right.
Let's say another 500,000 came in from out of state.
Okay.
Okay. If all 3 million people in the city went to the rally, plus the million I just added, you're still only at 4. Now ask yourself, how many people in your life on Friday that you know were at the rally.
Well, but they, wasn't just the rally, though. This was including
Wrigley Field.
Steve,
I know a lot of people. In my life, four people.
Big fat Greek family went, you'd have a million right there. So come on.
But did they?
No.
No, they didn't.
Maybe half went.
Does it count the people hanging out the windows and looking out the windows? Does it count?
5 million. It counts everybody. Including the people that weren't there.
But Steve, people flew in from other cities.
Other states.
Here's the rest of this. If you put 5 million people, this city has a finite space to it, right? There's water over there. So there's only so many people you can put along the route and at Grand Park in the smaller of the areas. This wasn't Soldier Field. This was the field that the Hawks used
Hutchinson
in 13.
Field.
Yeah. You can't get 5 million people in that.
But they weren't all there.
There were
Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
A lot of people lined Lakeshore Drive.
Ever have 5 million people in the area that they're talking about, no one will be able to move. Not left, not right,
or breathe.
Not forward, not backward.
You
nobody.
Know, you have a lot of pull. You should get the guy who counted every single person.
You know who that guy was? Some guy named Lou. Some guy named Lou at Streets and Sand.
Big Lou.
Tell him it's 5 million. It's 5 million people.
Seventh largest
gathering of human beings. What?
Seventh largest gathering of human beings in the history of the world.
Yeah, only behind the papal mass in the Philippines. Mm-hmm.
Somebody texted, said, what were the other six? I'm going to actually take a look, but first we'll come back and do the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by seven different technologies. It's exhausting. I just haven't
met you yet. How great is that scene? The great Bella Gondi in just a moment. By the way, I mentioned the Cubs are going to be all over TV in the next 24 to 36. Anthony Rizzo, Dexter Fowler, and Ben Zobrist are on the Tonight Show with Fallon tonight. Meanwhile, Chris Bryant will be on Kimmel. And tomorrow, Chris Bryant and David Ross will be on The Ellen Show. So if you can't get enough Cubs. And we got a bunch of people asking why there's a line around Macy's. Let's go live to Dave at Macy's now. Dave, what are you seeing there?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of fans in line here around Macy's.
Do you have any reason as to why?
Yes. I believe it's an appearance by Javier Baez of the Cubs.
Are you sure it's not people still waiting for the train because 5 million people showed up for the Cubs?
And they are still waiting for trains. But no, I believe it's Javier Baez doing an autograph signing at Macy's. Yes.
Did you see the latest stat? They said look for a record number of birth announcements coming in August of next year.
What do you mean? Celebratory humping?
Steve, it's not that. It's just people are excited. They're happy that the Cubs won the World Series, so they're celebrating in different ways, including...
But wait, August?
Steve, there were 5 million people in the city.
Well, apparently there's going to be more.
There's going to be a lot of Javiers out there, too, naming their kid that.
Oh, I bet there will be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Javis and Anthony's.
Javis.
Kyle's.
And Christopher's.
But it'd be July. July and August of next year.
Oh, July
and
August. Yeah.
Could be any time now.
Pregnancies, yeah.
But when were they having sex? They were watching the game.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
There were 5 million people at the parade. How did they have time to
have sex?
There
was a rain delay.
It was a stressful thing.
I couldn't go to 5 million
homes. This is why women complain. 17-minute rain delay and you make a baby. How about you taking a little time?
Exactly.
The hell happened to foreplay?
Right? A seventh inning stretch.
Bella Gondi's here. Look what you walked into. This is your fault. This is your fault. You created this. Bella Gondi, founder and president of the Smart Dating Academy. And College Pals with you.
That's right.
Congratulations to your Illini.
Woohoo!
How about that? We won a game. We beat Michigan State. Bella's
she has no idea.
She's not even following it.
I'm like, yeah. I'm still
so
in Cubs
great.
Mania. I'm still stuck at the seventh inning stretch.
Right. She's still on the 5 million people.
There's a quote.
I'm still on the rain delay.
Yeah.
There's a quote attributed to Bella, which is great. This is your quote. When you start to focus on people who make you happy, love will come to you. Love will definitely come to you. That's pretty great.
And it's so right. You know,
simple philosophy and true.
I talk about this all the time, about how people come in to see us, you know, every week at Smart Dating Academy, whether it's from New York or Chicago or wherever. And when we ask them, for women, we'll say, oh, describe your dream guy. And if you look at what they say, it's, I want him to be tall. I want him to be more successful.
I want to be funny. I want to be funny. I want him to be rich.
And do you know what this comes back to? It's evolutionary instincts. It's what we were looking for 200,000 years ago as women, right? I want the big caveman that can go out and kill big buffalo and bring it back to village to eat. And
right. Now you
it's
can go
no
to,
different.
Yeah, now you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings. You don't need to kill anything.
Exactly. During the rain delay.
Right, right, right. Though they frown on that, generally speaking, at the restaurant.
Generally, if you find a dark corner.
So women shouldn't have a list. Women shouldn't have the mythical list, right? You should be open to possibilities.
Yeah. Look, our definition of partnership and marriage has changed, right, in the last 100 years. We're no longer worried about putting a roof over our head or maybe getting the next meal on the table. So now, what we haven't done is started to look for partners that actually make us happy. We're still using checklists from 100,000 years ago. So stop doing that and start looking for people that actually make you happy.
All right, so tomorrow's election day. Should we look for partners that have our same political instincts and
aspirations? Should you even bring politics up?
Yeah.
Well, according to this new survey from Match.com, it's okay during this election season to discuss politics. I mean, historically, look, as a dating coach, I'll tell people, don't discuss anything that can potentially disconnect you. Religion and politics being obviously big places where you can have a divergence of opinions. But now, okay, Match is saying, have a good, healthy discussion about it. 91% of singles want that, and it can help you to get the second date. So remember, it's how you're discussing it is the key.
Yeah, and if it's if you find a hot guy that you really think is great for you, and you find out he's a Trump supporter, and that's a deal breaker for you, well, then that's a deal breaker for you, right?
Then
that's
that is it. A deal breaker for you. And, you know, people that are really polarized politically, you tend to know that before you go out on a date with them. So listen for that.
Right, 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 right. But when people that fix you up, should you go to the people you're closest to fix you up?
Absolutely. You know what?
I mean, you know, if somebody at work goes, oh, I know we barely know each other, but if I got a guy for you.
Sometimes our strongest connections come from our weaker links,
oh,
right?
Really?
Absolutely. So, you know, think about it with job search, right? You never know. You think, okay, I'm going to ask my 10 best friends or my 10 most connected friends, but it could be the old lady next door that's got the nephew who's the CEO of the company you want to work at. You never know.
Is this a guy that comes over and mows her lawn and he happens to take his shirt off and then the music starts going, gong,
gong, chicka-bong, he's the pool guy on the side as
right.
well.
Everyone needs a good pool boy.
Everybody needs a good cabana boy.
All right, easy, both of you. 27% of singles, this is the survey we're talking about, 27% of singles would not date someone who didn't vote. But listen to this. Females are 79% more likely to date somebody that didn't vote. Why would you give that up?
Right. So women, look, women want to know that you can make a decision, right? Those vestigial instincts that we talked about. We want a man with a plan.
Oh, so more likely guy, to not date. Right.
Yeah.
I missed the not. Right.
Yeah. Got so if it. A guy comes in and is like, well, I'm not going to vote. Guess what? For almost 4 out of 5 women are going to say, game over. Like, if you can't make a decision on who to vote for in this election,
right.
What are you going to do if I'm potentially, you know, 9 months pregnant and going into labor? Can you make a decision like, it's time to go to the hospital or not?
Should we go to the hospital? Right. I don't know.
What do you think?
That is such a huge span, though, that 80% of women care, 30% of men don't.
Wow. It's crazy. It's crazy.
How about this one? When it comes to dating, what are singles' political deal breakers? Not having an opinion on key issues?
Yeah.
35%.
Have
makes
an
sense.
Opinion.
Not registering to vote? 26%.
1 out of 4.
Being a Republican, 17%. Being a Democrat, 8%. I love this one. Being an independent, 5%. What do you mean you're fair-minded?
Take a side! The world is full of zeros and ones. I am a binary person. Pick one.
Do you expect your date to tell you who they voted for? 23% say yes, 77% say no.
See, right, but have an opinion on an issue.
Right.
So we can back into it, I think, is what this
know?
Says.
If you're going to go out with somebody more than once, wouldn't you want to know?
I would want to know.
I mean,
I would
want
to know, too.
I would want to know.
How could you be at dinner, even if it's a new relationship, and you just voted, especially in this election,
in this
which
election.
Is such a polarizing election, and is it just reasons. That they don't want to tell? Are they embarrassed to tell?
I don't know. He's got a weird triple comb over, and he's kind of orange. I have no idea who he voted for.
He's got a good spray tan.
Wrong.
79% of singles have no problem dating somebody from a different political party, but only 6% insist their partner have the same political beliefs. I think the 6% that insist you have the same political beliefs are the singles. Yeah, the ones that are going to stay single.
But that would be hard, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're hardcore Trump and you're... partner is hardcore Hillary.
Well, it's Cubs, White Sox, it's Packers, Bears, right? It's just a different version.
You know what, then? If you are super polarized one way or the other, then maybe it's time for you to start going to events where you can meet like-minded people, right? If you're for Hillary, there's lots of things you could be doing. Get out there, help canvas, meet some like-minded people. And if you're voting for Trump, same thing.
Go hunting.
Smart Dating Academy. When we come back, Bella will tell you about how you can move to Canada if Trump wins tomorrow, or if Hillary wins tomorrow, and that's what is firing you up. And also move to Canada with a website, a dating site, I should say, that's going to hook you up with a fine Canadian.
Fine Canadian.
I love this site. Bella Gandhi's here, Smart Dating Academy. Is it .com, .org, .zip, .zap? What is it?
.com.
The smart way to date. All right, we're going to run out of time very quickly here, but Maple Match is what?
It's a website created by a smart liberal from Texas who said, hey, if you don't like the outcome this election and you might want to flee the country... here's a site called Maple Match. You can start corresponding with cute Canadians who can help you escape what's going on here.
Yeah, and you don't have to move in with him right away, but let's say he's got an apartment in Saskatchewan. He'll help you find one, and you'll be able to go, and it could be good for both of you.
Absolutely. It could be Saskatchewan, Montreal.
I'm staying at the Palace. I'm going back to the UK. The Queen's inviting me in. Yeah. I passed the British citizenship test. By the way, all the geniuses on this show did not.
Hey, you know what? I got like a 60%.
Yeah.
You got what, a 70 though, Steve?
I passed.
Yeah. That's passing grade.
I passed by one question.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Yeah. You talked about going to Canada though at one point.
I thought about it, but I really like the idea of going home to the motherland. All right, so Smart Dating Academy. We call, we set something up, your people and you will put us on the right path.
Absolutely. And we'll try to keep you in America.
Yeah.
There you go.
But no guarantees.
But get out and vote.